yes, indeed. But not those. See the difference in the dorsal fins? Those are dolphins, come for the kill.
Dolphins eat sharks?
No, they eat fish. Dolphins kill sharks on sight. The two species hate each other.
Ace, no eat? Triple stoop.
Not if you're in the water with sharks coming after your ass and a bunch of dolphins show up. Shit, they're one of the few good muties that are friendly to norms.
Not a mutation, my dear Mr. Cawder. Since time immemorial, dolphins have been the friends of humanity. Although God alone knows why, we have certainly treated them poorly enough.
How chill.
A dolphin will ram a shark in the belly with its nose. See? They die almost instantly.
Hot pipe. Dad, didn't you say it's possible to chill a man that way too?
Requires a hell of a kick, but it can be done.
Smack in the belly?
Just under the rib cage. Right here and slightly upward.
Gotcha.
Enough of that. Land ho!
Where? Where?
Right there, John. Forbidden Island.
Majestically rising over the horizon like a green dawn was a wide island of hills, cliffs, mountains, and volcanoes, everything covered with a lush growth of tropical plants. But to Christie, the place almost looked like two or three islands rammed together. The Bob Marley started to accelerate toward the island as a fresh wind blew over the companions, forcing the balloon onward. The twin volcanoes rumbled softly, sounding like distant thunder, their ragged tops lit from internal fires, wisps of yellow sulfur fumes rising to the sky. The firelight actually reflected off the thick layer of storm clouds. Two volcanoes so close to each other seemed unlikely to Mildred, and she postulated they were simply the planet trying to clean itself from deadly residue of multiple nuke hits.
Found them!
JB was holding the brass telescope to his face. In a valley set between the volcanoes were the ruins of a large pre-dark metropolis sitting on top of a short mesa. The buildings were only silhouettes in the ambient light, black shadows as still and dead as the ferro-cement from which they'd been built. As they continued closer, details came into view. A huge waterfall rushing off a tall cliff to their left, the smashed wreckage of a navy yard to the right, the buildings and warships, rusted hulks, partly swamped in a bay full of violently swirling water. Something large winged across the dark ruins, and Doc rubbed his eyes to see clearly, but the apparition was already gone. Tightening his lips, the time traveler wondered if he had just actually seen a pterodactyl. No, quite impossible.
May I be so bold as to strongly suggest that if we encounter anything exceptionally large, shoot only for its head, nowhere else?
See something?
I do not know for sure, dear lady. And that is what quite worries me.
Rad pit's coming.
The ebony night thinned about the island, showing reddish-green glows dotting the landscape and completely covering the Navy base. Quickly, Ryan checked his rad counter and saw the readings steadily climb toward the danger zone.
Fire blast! It's hotter than Washington Hole!
But then Ryan shifted his arm about. The clicks of the device seemed slower to the left, toward the valley that cut through the mountain range. That was the location of the mesa. But this was no place to make a guess.
Wait, JB, check my readings.
Yeah, that valley seems okay.
Okay, start wetting those blankets and try angling us toward the mesa.
No need. The wind shifted again and we're heading straight for it. The volcanoes are making a current for us, taking us right there.
Something wrong.
Mildred shuffled around the rope basket and checked the weight bags. Each was tied firmly in place.
Millie?
We appear to be rising. Nothing serious yet, but we better let out some helium.
My job.
Doc pulled the sword from his stick. Reaching high, he stabbed the lowest weather balloon, and it noisily deflated in a blubbery rush. But the Bob Marley didn't lose any height. Puzzled, Doc stabbed another, then another. And incredibly, the airship began to rise.
How's this possible?
God damn it, we're caught in an updraft from those cross currents.
Mildred drew her blaster and started blowing away the largest balloon. It burst as the hot round tore through, but their speed didn't slow. Steadily, the Bob streaked for the storm clouds overhead, and Ryan briefly considered dropping all their excess weight to get above the clouds. Unfortunately, the sheet lightning filled the sky, and they'd be fried rising through the wild storm, if the rads and chems didn't ace them first. But if they shot out too many balloons, they'd plummet from the sky and crash on the rocks below. They had passed the ocean several minutes ago, and we're now moving over bare soil studded with boulders and rusty pre-dark junk. The companions would be torn to pieces, even if they survived the brutal landing. They rose still higher. The rest stared at the screaming Christie, then rubbed their arms and faces, skin prickling from the deadly proximity to the heavily polluted clouds. Just then, both rad counters began to wildly click ever faster.
If we enter those clouds, none of us shall ever leave them alive.
With no other choice, Ryan drew his blaster and started firing.
Fire blast!
The problem with balloon wags was supposed to be keeping them afloat, not getting them to come down. Just one solution for that. The red-hot rounds from the Sig Sauer easily punched through the tough polymer sheeting, deflating balloons far out of the sword's reach, and the craft instantly slowed. Then it began to descend, and soon the itchy, crawling feeling of radiation was fading away. Only now the island was rushing toward them with nightmare speed as the balloon descended out of control.
Too fast!
Jack slashed through the ropes. The heavy bags fell, and the Bob Marley continued to drop.
Shitfire! We've slipped out of the thermal. Now we're too heavy. Toss everything overboard!
The companions slid off their backpacks and heaved them away, but the reduction in weight made no real difference. Too many of the balloons had been destroyed in their efforts to avoid the death clouds. But the airship was also still moving inland. The moonlight heralding their way, the terrain became grasslands, then a forest with a stone arch extended across the valley, connecting one mountainside to the other. A natural limestone bridge flew by.
Get ready to jump!
The others copied his actions, but the balloon swung past the bridge, moving way too fast.
God damn it!
What the hell's that? Another fill!
Water!
There was a wide break in the Stygian forest, where a calm river traversed the valley floor. Unfortunately, the river was narrow, with sharp rocks lining both shores, with more trees returning on the far bank. Their target was a slim area of flat mud between the rocks, impossible to hit at their current speed.
That's our best chance.
Ryan slashed away the side ropes, open air directly before the man.
Wait for it! Now!
In unison, the companions dove from the pallet. A split second later, the Bob Marley rammed into the trees and was torn apart by a thousand sharp branches. Only the babbling of the shallow river disturbed the heavy silence of the muddy banks. Then swatches of light bobbed through the darkness, and armed men stepped from the rushes along the riverbank to stealthily approach the deathly still figures sprawled in the bloody mud. Their black plumes trailing across the starry sky, the four PT boats steamed across the ocean, their engines thumping loudly. A number of dolphins swam alongside the lead PD, occasionally lifting their bottlenose heads to give a stuttering squeal. With both of his wounds stiff and aching, Mitchum slid the long blaster off his shoulder, pulled back the heavy hammer, and shot one. The creature moved sideways from the impact of the 75 caliber mini-ball, human red blood spraying from the gaping wound. The entire pack drove out of sight instantly, and as the chugging fleet left them behind, the dolphins returned to circle the dying mammal, gently nudging it with their stubby noses. Then a female gave a long howl as if in mourning, as the gutshot male rolled onto its back to expose its pale belly to the air. The rest of the pack circled their dead friend once more, then swam away, leaving the lifeless meat to the endless scavengers. But more than one of the dolphins turned to stare at the noisy dead thing that thundered over the water, watching the two legs with intelligent eyes full of raw hatred.
What was that, Mitch?
Some kind of baby shark.
Ahoy the captain! 2 o'clock high!
It's them!
Mitchum lifted his long blaster, but withheld firing. The weird air wag was bobbing along in the sky without a care in the world. The sec chief trembled with the urge to kill, and had to mentally force his hands to lower the flintlock.
Well, don't stand there gawking like virgins in a gaudy house. They're getting away! Load the 50 cals! Ready the firebirds!
Nobody moved to obey the command.
God
damn it.
Land ho! Breakers at our noon!
That's Forbidden Island.
What?
On the horizon was a long landmass with two live volcanoes. There could be no doubt as to what island that was.
Nuke me, it is! Emergency stop! Cut all engines!
The crew rushed to the tasks, and soon the boats were anchored relatively motionless in the waves. Reaching into